Hello and welcome to The Great British Sitcom, the show in which we watch some potentially forgotten sitcom classics to see if they stood the test of time. I'm Mark, and that's Chris Wood.
Hello.
And that's Chris Jones.
Yep.
And today we're watching Hot Metal. So we read like a bit of the premise about this beforehand, and it sounds pretty dog shit. Would one of you like to read the premise for this?
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to go for it, Jones?
Hot Metal. Series premise. The Crucible is a new muck-raking tabloid newspaper in London. Managing editor Russell Spam is always on the lookout for the latest dirt and gossip, while senior editor Harold Stringer struggles to preserve some sense of dignity, usually to no avail. Spam writes such questionable stories and as lurid details about Prince Andrew's girlfriend.
What? Really? But Prince Andrew?
Yeah, obviously this is like a user review, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. I always forget that.
He writes lurid stories with lurid stories, like Prince Andrew's girlfriend. It's topical. Okay. I wouldn't say she was his girlfriend.
No.
But anyway, a campaign to... Far from it. a campaign to bring back capital punishment and accusing... Maybe this actually is a thing about Prince Andrew's girlfriend.
Oh, really?
This just happens to coincidentally coincide with topical events.
Okay.
Spam writes such questionable stories as lurid details about Prince Andrew's girlfriend. It's harder than it looks. Now.
What reading?
About Prince Andrew's girlfriend. A campaign to bring back capital punishment and accusing a bishop of being a werewolf. Written by Andrew Marshall of 2.4 Children and Dad. David Renwick of One Foot in the Grave and Jonathan Creek. Number series episodes. 2 series, 13 episodes, unlucky for some. Stars. Robert Hardy as Russell Spam. Also in Harry Potter. It's Cornelius Fudge. That's another annoying... Oh, annoying names. Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah.
Richard Kane, Dickie Kane as Greg Kettle. From The Bill, Casualty, Doctor Who. Jeffrey Palmer as Henry Stringer, Butterflies, as we've seen. And As Time Goes By, aired between 1986. Series rating. Anyone want to guess what it is?
I think this was low. I don't remember properly, but I think it was surprisingly low. Maybe like even 5 or something like that.
6.2.
Well, this is 8.1.
So. Oh, 8.1? Bloody hell. Okay.
Maybe it's just the episode we're watching, I don't know. Facts of the time. Songs of the time. Not really a fact. Whitney Houston.
It's a fact.
How Will I Know? How will I know if he really loves me? And Billy William Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough, open brackets, The Tough Get Going, close brackets.
It's good to...
Songs of the time.
Let people know what they do.
Questions? What do you remember / know?
I know nothing of this other than what we've read, so I can't even comprehend. No, actually, for the theme tune, I imagine maybe like the noise of the press going round.
Printing press, yeah. You see a printing press like printing a newspaper.
Read all about it.
And like as it's printing, I reckon some of the characters are featured on the front of the newspaper.
A nice little tie-in.
And yeah. Their names will be in like a typeface.
Yeah.
Do you reckon we'll get all about spinning newspaper?
Okay. Or like circular, like Batman, or like coming off the press.
No, like spinning around, going did a little, and then see the headline.
Literally like 60s Batman. Is that what you mean?
Yep.
I reckon it'd be more like coming off the press. I reckon.
That makes sense.
Yeah. That's what we say. So, what episode are we watching?
Oh, I don't remember.
We're watching series 1, episode 1.
Oh, the premiere.
Red carpet. Man. So this is the Telltale Heart.
Yep.
So it said 16th of February 1986, 2 days after 16th. Valentine's Day.
Okay, I wasn't born yet, but I was born later, yeah. Probably conceived around that time.
Chernobyl happened
then? No, I wasn't born yet.
Chernobyl happened in 86, didn't it?
I didn't.
Chernobyl.
Did it?
Wasn't it? I think it's 86. I think it's April 86.
Yeah, I mean, it might be right. I did watch it on TV. It feels about right.
What, before you were born?
Live. 86. I don't know.
Yeah. That feels about right from the TV series I'm remember watching.
86. Not much else happened with it. Oh, World Cup.
International Year of Peace by United Nations.
Perfect. Good year.
Yeah.
World Cup 86, Mexico. Hand of God.
That's one of my favourite logos.
Good logo.
Very, very good logo.
Maradona. Hand of God. That's 1986.
Me. October.
So, yeah. Started with Chernobyl and then it went downhill.
What? Chernobyl was a high point of the year. April 26th, Chernobyl disaster. So it happened after this. Aired.
Appropriate. And again, there was hot metal involved in that.
There was. Bringing it full circle.
There probably was.
Seen the, seen the show, Chris?
What?
Seen the Chernobyl show? Chernobyl.
The Chernobyl show.
It's the Chernobyl show.
I haven't seen TV series, no.
It's very good.
Yeah, it is really good, yeah.
No, I haven't. I can't remember what channel it's on. Something's Atlantic.
Sky Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got that.
It's got... from Goodnight Sweetheart, it's got the Scouse guy.
Imagine that. Yeah. The lead investigator.
Is that where he was looking the other way when the nuclear reactor went down?
It was him trying to cop off with one of the... Oh, yeah.
That would really take you out the moment, wouldn't it? If Lindhurst just pops up in such a serious programme.
Trying to feel like speaking Russian. You know? Oh, da. Obviously, when it's in the Ukraine, but that's a bit Russian, I think. Or Ukrainian, I don't know.
Well, we're part of Russia, weren't they? Well, it's the USSR, wasn't it? When it collapsed,
yeah,
it's always places, isn't it?
It's called the Scouse guy from Goodnight Sweetheart, isn't it? His mate. His mate. I think his name is Renard, I think.
Ron. Accent really rub against all the
Russians? Yeah, a lot of the R's don't roll quite as well.
And a little tight perm that he's got. Yeah.
And he's like, he was quite...
You
large,
cannot go in the reactor in a shell suit.
Come down.
It's not geared towards radiation. You cannot wear it.
Sorry. Yeah, he was quite a large man in Goodness We Are, but even in this, I remember he's quite...
He's ballooned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's also got Little Mo's husband from EastEnders.
Oh, the naked miner.
Oh, yeah, Trevor, the one who got ironed.
Just want to classify it. It's not... When you say minor, he was like to go down the mines. He didn't play like a small boy that got naked.
What?
So he plays a naked miner in this.
Oh, right.
Yeah, not a small child that is naked. Just want
to... Might go down the mines naked.
It's very, very hot down there because of the radiation, I guess.
Oh, in Chernobyl?
Yeah, in EastEnders.
What's that noise in the Queen Vic? That's the Geiger counter. Fucking nuts lately. I love it.
There's radiation.
It's a weird, weird luminous green pint. Lovely.
Strip that down. Neck that.
That's why Phil Mitch was bald.
Yeah, that's all I got on Chernobyl.
Okay, let's watch the show.
Watch that instead.
None of us know anything about it, so we can't really say anything. No. Because if we guess, it's going to be annoying, isn't it? I think it's going to be like similar vibes to Me and My Girl. The Office is like really 80s, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this like when was Drop the Dead Donkey? Was that after this?
I think that's...
Because that was a newspaper later, thing, wasn't it? Just set in a, like...
We've got that to watch, but I don't remember what year it is, sorry.
No, I think it was like after this. It kind of been... Right. Well, it might have started, I don't know.
Similar times.
I don't know, really.
Trying to ride the wave of, perhaps. Yeah, I don't know which came first.
No, it's a weird title, Hot Metal.
But then we all kind of deduced that it's probably about, like, an allusion to the printing press itself. And also... As Chris pointed out, the name of the newspaper is the Daily Crucible.
I don't know if it's Daily, but it's Crucible.
The Crucible.
What a dig.
Never said that. Don't try and tell them about their publication time frame.
Well, it's a newspaper. Surely it's Daily.
Yeah, some newspapers you don't have every day.
Yes.
Sunday Sport. Mm. Once a week.
Delivered to my door.
It's weird. It's cost me double because I have to buy it and have it put inside another newspaper as well.
Sorry for the theme tune then. Are we just going for like sounds of a printing press or you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's like mechanical.
I think it's going to be a piece of music.
Nondescript or?
Yeah.
Beethoven's Fifth. Specific.
Or maybe like typewriters, just something like of in the realms of that.
I was hot. I was like really 80s.
Or it could be like clanging, like clangers. Like almost like blacksmith. Like,
so here we go. Any excuse?
No, I'm just saying like the hitting of like
I really
metal.
Expect to see a leather apron, that's
welding or something. I'm hoping they forge a sword in the quench.
Yeah, they're talking about like the latest scoop, and in the background there's a horse having its shoes repaired.
Just making what's he employed for? He just makes nails.
I hope there's some like some hot guitar in it, like bing, bing.
Oh yeah, bing, bing,
bing.
Synthesizer as well.
Don't know.
Just watch it.
Let's find out. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. Let's find out. So hot metal. We'll see you.
Hot metal. Just hot metal, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll see you after this. Theme change. So we just watched series one, episode one of Hot Metal, entitled The Telltale Heart. It's just setting the premise for... James just goes head in his hand. It's just setting the premise for what seems to be a fairly terrible, pointless sitcom. Just how a guy took over a newspaper and how they are now going to start just making up scandals that... somehow end up turning to be true. That's largely the premise for this. There is an official premise if one of you guys want to read it, or for me to read it, or just plow straight into what went on.
Papers!
Right. Try and read this coherently and succinctly. Right, so episode premise, there's no rating for it. Right, what will the tycoon owner of Rat House International do to Harry Stringer's respectable but doomed Daily Crucible? Okay, so we had a newspaper. It's boring and that, so it was doomed. Who is the mysterious new editor? Russell Spam. That is who it is. No one's ever heard of him. Who is he? And what scandalous front page story will they have to think up to rocket the Daily Crucible to the top of the market? All is revealed.
All is revealed.
Is it all revealed though? I feel there's a lot of questions left open in that.
So what is revealed is, so as we were talking about before this, is the Prince Andrew stuff. Worryingly, like making up scandals there that, you know.
Again, it's like life imitating art, because like they were making up scandals that turned out to be true. That's exactly what's happened here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was a slightly different scandal. But...
yeah, it wasn't pedo-y.
Yeah, a lot less PDB, thankfully.
Yeah, far from it. So the theme tune wasn't really like anything we thought it would be. It was like kind of like
it
a hard
wasn't,
rock,
no.
bluesy rocking song.
Mm.
Yeah, it wasn't how I thought it would be. I think I still would have preferred if it was more in keeping with like printed press, and if the comedy was entirely different as well. But I didn't mind the same tune.
When you when you win a large sum of money and you remake Hot Metal as your dream, you know it'll be the
yeah. I might just have like that music in the background of one of the scenes as a little Easter egg for the true fans. Yeah. But
well, because I was at first, it kind of got my hopes up because the intro to it. The introduction to it, setting up, you know, all the backstory about what the paper was and how it was performing, was done like a kind of a mockumentary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was like they're interviewing Harry Stringer, and it was that, and then there's a voiceover going, you know, maybe Crucible sales, and she had like a chart of its sales, and like it was getting you up to date about what was happening with the paper, and then it went to like a traditional sitcom after that.
Yeah, all the setup was done in a quite a good way. That,
yeah, it wasn't like it was filmed as a mockumentary or like a documentary or anything like that. It was literally just went straight to normal formula, didn't it?
Upsetting.
That is a general description for the episode.
Pretty much. Yeah, it was a real tough one. Because it was like some... it really started off a lot better than it ended up. Like it was like some visual gags. Like there was a bit where... it showed, who was the name? Something Rathbone, wasn't it? Derek Rathbone.
Yeah,
Terence Rathbone. and then it showed his like holdings, as like a, his conglomerate, like a Rat House Industries or whatever, and it showed like a big board of all like the columns and the name of the companies he owned.
Oh yeah.
And in the third column, it had like loads of these companies, like, but at the time in the '80s, were like bad. Like there was loads of South African things and that, because it was like,
oh, okay,
was
a boycott, yeah,
of South Africa, and there was like other countries that are bad and whatever. So it's like a little sight gag and sort of filled in that he's a bad person and is unscrupulous. And like,
okay,
that.
Yeah, that's quite good.
But then you know, they put the main character in a lift and.
What did the setup for that was like? Oh, where is my office going to be then? Christ. It's not going to be in the lift.
Smash cut. They turn his office into a bathroom.
Yes. Yeah, like he walked in and he was in the shower. A bath, rather, yeah.
Imagine the logistics involved in that, tiling it, plumbing it all in.
The plumbing, yeah, especially.
Oh, it's the plumbing in, yeah. Blimey, can you imagine? Couldn't imagine where to start.
Oh, God, this is inordinate amount of effort. And then there's all the unnecessary confusion about Terence Rathbone being, and what's his name, Kenny Spam or whatever, being played by the same actor.
Well, I still don't understand.
I'm starting to think that was a joke, because they said, oh, this guy Spam, we've never heard of him.
Mm.
And then he leaves the room, and then a guy comes in who looks like him, being Spam. Whether or not part of that was a joke, like, oh, is it the same guy? Yeah. And then obviously at the end, when he walked in and they were both in there, he walked in quite shocked. So I'm assuming that they must have all thought it was the same person.
Around, yeah.
And then at the end, it was like, oh no, they are two different people.
Mm.
I don't know.
So is Jeffrey Palmer supposed to play the part of the audience then, essentially? Like he's the straight guy.
He was the editor of the newspaper, and then he got promoted, but it wasn't really a promotion, Mark.
And that was a running joke where he didn't know what his job was now. He was like the managing executive director.
And that was badly done, though, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, my job, it's, can I get back to you on that?
I mean, I assume he was getting paid for that. I mean, I'd happily get paid to go sit in the lift and just do nothing all day.
I've seen an opening for a lift operator. Yeah.
What? Hang on, stop.
Stop the press.
But like, it's a shitty joke to begin with, like the whole my job is, and it wasn't well delivered, really. But, you know, I like Jeffrey Palmer, good lad, but I don't think it was well delivered. And then it became a recurring joke, and it was like, oh. Yeah.
This was beneath him, wasn't it?
Yeah. The thing with recurring jokes is they need to be funny, don't they?
a joke to start off with.
Otherwise, you're just like, oh, no. Yeah.
It's just a thing that repeatedly happens.
Keep bringing this shite up.
I mean, it's no, like, you know, wordplay on the word polo.
No, exactly.
That's a gold standard of a blue ribbon.
Thing is about working a lift, though, has its ups and downs. So
brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Rather than go through this bit by bit, should we just touch on some things that happen? Because we haven't got much time today.
Because there's a whole side plot where I don't know if I just drifted off or whatever. But then suddenly because it confused us, because like the videos we watched were split into three. It was on YouTube. Other video websites are available. Not Dailymotion, whatever. Anyway, so it's split.
Vimeo.
Fine. So it split at some point, and then the second video began with like in Austria, and we're like, "Oh, is this even the same thing?" And then I couldn't remember what the build up to that confusing part was. Like, why were they sent the reporter to Austria?
Well, I think it was the three sack points, weren't there? There was the first scene was the guy talking to, I'm guessing, the reporter who was going and like investigating the Prince Andrew's girlfriend and doing like the shady things, like going into her underwear and all that stuff. Then he said, right, well, we don't want this in our paper, blah, blah, blah. Then the paper got taken over, and then it kind of split into the paper back in London or wherever. And then it got the reporter in Austria tracking where she was skiing, I think.
Oh, okay.
So then that's why he went to a hotel room and poked holes in the condoms. And
that was insane.
Yeah.
That's not remotely funny.
You haven't tried it, Mark.
She just needs a look on her face.
Pregnant? What?
No, I meant there's like water balloons.
Is that why you weren't invited back to the children's party? Invited back.
It's balloon animals. With little, this one's strawberry flavoured. No. anyway, enough about that. It was just like weird things. I don't think it very well Yeah, it was too jumpy. And I don't know whether that was the way that we watched it in three parts or the way that nothing really sort of... Because we didn't have any idea that that guy was still working for the newspaper.
Last I heard, he got the sack.
Yeah, and then suddenly he's back and... Weird.
Is that Greg Kettle, that guy?
Kitty, I think it was Kits.
The Kits.
Big Kits was
I can't think of anything that was... The only part that made me laugh was because I'm childish. It was the bit where he was reading that one of Greg... Jeffrey Palmer was angrily reading that one of Greg Kettle's stories to him, and it was about someone from the gas board went to a woman's house, and like the quote was like a little bit of gas was let out. I was like, farting.
Yeah, but it was like going through the knickers drawer, thing, wasn't it? And it found.
It's almost nice to hear knickers, isn't it? You don't hear that anymore, do you?
Yeah. What else happened in this? It was. I've got this. I'll
breakfast
get this
with Khrushchev.
What the fuck was that?
Came out of nowhere.
Oh,
really came out of nowhere.
Well, it did say actually in the premise that what part of it was throughout the first series a running plot involved. No, it's not then.
Just the ad on the Soviet Union that we were reading. Ad. Did I say that?
Involves the cover reporter Bill Titler. Gradually uncovering an actual newsworthy story that went to the very heart of government. But no, that's nothing to do with Khrushchev.
But that was the end of it, wasn't it? That was the next story of him saying, like, oh, I've got him. And then the guy back in London saying, oh, he's got to bring him back here.
Yeah.
It'll be a great story. But yeah, it was just weird.
It
went on too long as well, wasn't it? It wasn't like, oh, he'd been at the B&B and he'd been having like all this interaction with him at the end. He's like, what's your name? And he's like, oh. Mm. Like, it's a reveal at the end. It kind of just got a bit intense and strange.
Yeah, as we already said, the way it was cut in part two, they were suddenly in Austria and we didn't know if it was the same thing. He was suddenly dressed like an Austrian. Everything about it, just it seemed so disjointed.
Mm. Actually, there was, during the Austrian section, there was, I guess, we'll probably qualify, especially as Michael, well, at least my joke of the week was when he was the part where you enjoyed when he's pricking the contraceptives. Then,
well, just to clarify, I didn't enjoy that.
You did. You're making a note of it, weren't you, at the time.
No, yeah. I have piercing holes in condoms. In condoms, yeah.
It's his to-do list.
Make sure you do it before you put it on.
Ow!
So then... He's doing that, and then so what he's doing is he's tailing Prince Andrew's girlfriend, and he's gone to stake her out. Mm-hmm. But she's coming into the room, and he's like, oh fuck. And then he jumps into the cupboard, and she takes off her jumper, wearing a brassiere. Probably the highlight of the episode, I'd say. Bit weird, wasn't it? A bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes to put her jumper, like I do when I take off a jumper, I immediately hang it up. So she opened up the cupboard, and there he was, caught in the act. Mm. Threw him out.
Seemed particularly shocked.
It's happened a lot. Threw him out, and then she walks back to the cupboard and she goes, and the rest of you, and about like 5 months.
Yeah, that, I thought that was done quite well, to be honest.
Come out of the cupboard as well.
I think the other big thing that happened was they were trying to make up a story about her being in porn. And they just cut to two of the men just watching
a load of videos.
Yeah, and then they paused on a video that looked a little bit like her, apparently.
Yeah.
But the payoff for that was, it apparently was her.
Yeah, then, like, it's very weird. It was very it was just like tonally all over the place, really. There wasn't like one solid direction it was taking. It just seemed to just be a load of cuts between different things, and it didn't really come together, I didn't think, in that episode particularly. But then I suppose it's the first episode. I guess it was the pilot or...
Yeah,
just the first episode. Sometimes it's always a bit weird, isn't it? Because there's a lot of setup, a lot of trying to get a lot into 25 minutes or so.
That's the thing. Like, it felt like they'd established it really well, and then just it felt like more of a try to use a similar like analogy for it, like a magazine than a newspaper. Yeah. And just lots of stories about different things.
You do wonder if it would have benefited maybe from having one episode of it being like the boring newspaper, and then the guy coming in and changing it kind of like at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sort of. That one through line of a story.
Yeah. Don't know.
Look at the reviews for this. Like IMDb, 3 user reviews and they're all 10 out of 10.
Really?
Which is like, you know, they all describe it as like a satire, which it kind of is, but like it's too cartoonish to be like a satire for me.
It's, yeah, I can see it being a satire of like the, you know, the gutter press, the tabloid, yeah, like sensationalising and like building a story out of nothing. But I don't know, just what to me.
Yeah.
The most successful satires are like, has to be kind of, at least kind of grounded in reality. Like, I think for me, like, the best, yeah, all the best like satires for me, like The Thick of It and Veep and things like that, where it at least bears some note, like semblance of reality. Like, it's not,
yeah, it's nothing like, going in on that's like actually like so outlandish. You're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, because one to use a good example from this, one of the things was somebody had turned into a werewolf at one point at the start. I'm like, that
exactly. Just, yeah,
that's ludicrous.
Like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus doesn't play two characters, like. Because it's distracting for a start. Like, we're going, is that the same person? Or is
I don't understand why
they decided to do that. Like, it's just distracting.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very well done, I don't think.
Because, I don't know. But you've seen The Thick of It, right? I like The Thick of It. Mm-hmm. Chris, have you seen it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. But then, like, it could, like, you know, it's been said before in the events of the last few years, like, you couldn't satirise it because it's, like, too outlandish compared to, like, The Thick of It, for example.
Yeah.
Because there are stories, like, in the things that happened in The Thick of It could potentially,
and some
at the time,
some of which
happened
have,
in real life.
I think, yeah. Mm.
But, I don't know what point I'm making is, it wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't believable lives, essentially.
No, you wouldn't look at that and think, oh, yeah, that's probably how a tabloid newspaper would run.
Mm.
Or, like, you know, there's probably a way of doing it that is like still getting a funny, ridiculous like storyline with it, but not to the point you're like, come on, he's hiding in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think the most successful satire has to be completely like deadpan and straight faced, I think, while it's doing it with
Well, yeah, it has to not acknowledge its
exactly, yeah,
comedy, isn't yeah, it? It yeah, has yeah. to be doing it in the integrity of that moment, isn't it? It's not like that, but that was kind of like trying to still do that and still get like ridiculous laughs for stupid things.
Yeah. Which is why I think it was so disappointing. I was seeing like the intro part where it wasn't really trying as hard for laughs. Like, it had that bit where the owner jumped out the window and it's a reconstruction.
I quite like that.
Yeah. Not quite realistic, actually. That would have been funny if it was like a no. But I was saying
stock footage of the actual like
the that for me, I'd have probably that would probably been better if it was like a dummy. Like just like a proper rigid mannequin dummy coming out with the reconstruction at the bottom, because then it's like obviously a thing, isn't it? It's not like what looked like an actual body.
My favourite thing about that was the timing in which the word reconstruction appeared, because right, then the whole thing happened, it just went reconstruction. So that was quite good.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's always the thing we find, isn't it? When it's not particularly good, or we haven't, it's that weird middle line, isn't it? It wasn't good. But it wasn't so bad that there's a lot to discuss with it. It was kind of like just...
Yeah, exactly.
It's forgettable, wasn't it? It's not something you're going to think about because, oh my God, do you remember when it was like so terrible? It's just kind of like,
It was just so middle of the road.
Flat.
Yeah. Yeah, absolute shame.
Mm.
And I thought, even the scene where they were watching all the porn, I thought, well, obviously there's going to be some sort of, you know, it's like the classic trope of having like punny...
Mm.
Porn titles, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they just mentioned one. I thought that was odd.
Really,
yeah, and that was just
bear any relation to anything that happened.
No, I feel like if that scene was happening in Men Behaving Badly, which it quite possibly had happened at some point, I imagine that both of them would have like tilted their head the same way at the same time. Just little bits like that would have been like genuinely quite funny to watch, but it was just
just sitting.
Yeah, one
still watching it.
One
it?
Just lying back on like laying, a chair, and the other one lying on the sofa. Yeah. And then just read out the name Red Hot Nymphos from Rangoon, was it? Where's Rangoon? I don't even...
Oh, Myanmar.
Where?
Also known as Burma.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, just very strange. Do you want to just like jump to, does this stand the test of time, or do you want to cover other bits as well?
I don't think it's... I mean, there's not really much else we haven't covered,
no,
is
it's
there?
The same.
It's kind of, it was all just... I don't think it stood.
I feel like the things that did stand the test of time, other than the horrific Prince Andrew bits, was just like the theme of fake news. I feel like you could very easily carry that through to today.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of think what they tried to do there like has been done today, but better.
another
like with like satirizing and like trying to sort of things like that. There's nothing they haven't done that hasn't been done better today, so yeah, that wouldn't be coming out today, would it?
Was the Donkey like a satirical thing, or is it like a comedy that happens to take place in a newspaper? Do you know? I've not seen it.
I don't know at all, to be honest. No idea.
I've seen like a couple of bits of it. Yeah, I think it is quite satirizing it, because obviously they're in a news thing and they're not doing serious news story, like it's not all serious, so I think
it would feel like an odd choice if it wasn't being a satire. I don't quite know how that would work.
It's political satire about television news company Globelink and its team of workers.
Yeah, it's quite a specific thing to mention if you're not going to do satire, considering it's news.
Well, that was felt a lot longer than 23 minutes. That
I think we've watched worse.
Definitely.
It was, it was just like that. Was saying pretty middle of it. Did you say it was like me and my girl? In this, like,
vibes, yeah.
Yeah, and the forgettability to it.
Yeah.
Although I think I preferred Me and My Girl.
It did drag. Like, yeah, Me and My Girl were good. At least it had, like, what's he called? Tim Brooksmith.
Yeah.
Me and My Girl.
Yeah. Very nice.
I've got nothing else to say about this. I'm glad it's over. No, it's dragged. It feels like it's just dragging. Dragged, like, especially the parts in Austria. Like,
it's just it was boring on it.
I hated that character. I was wanting it to be over.
Dragged too much for me. I just felt a bit largely bored. Didn't feel dragged. Like Din Ladies for me was like a bigger drag.
It's because you're sexist.
I don't know. I remember that feeling like a drag, but this one I can just sit through and be bored.
Mm.
Yeah. All right then. Does it stand the test of time?
No.
Really, no. I
mean, three no's.
I think Chris is right in that. What he's trying to do has been done better by other shows.
Yeah.
So it's redundant as a show. So.
Perfect. All right then. Should we just jump straight to the game?
What's the name of the feature?
Yeah.
This feature. Not the name of the game, the name of the feature.
So this falls under one of the
name
ones,
of the game in the game in general.
Oh, right. The game is now called Mark's Stupid Game.
That's it. Fucking idiot.
Mark made the game. Stupid game. Mark has made a stupid game. Let's play the game. Let's play the fucking stupid game.
So do you want to guess the theme of the game for this week?
Not metal.
Oh,
he's bloody got it.
Is it?
Is it not metal?
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot metal, not metal.
Oh god.
Well, I got it in one. So, but is it the metal you think?
What?
Oh, twist. Taken from www.discogs.com. We're looking at underrated and obscure heavy metal bands. Which of these following are real metal bands?
Okay.
These are all actual bands that feature on this website, right. So some of which I've made up. So is it hot metal or not metal?
All right. So is it a real band? If it's not a real band, it's not metal.
So if it's hot metal, that's a real metal band. If it's
not metal.
We know.
Go for it.
Cool. Right, okay, just repeat.
So what do I say if it is a real metal band? I can't.
James, I'll let you go first this week.
Thank you.
It's normally weird. So first up, we have Vicious Rumours. Is that hot metal or not metal?
Vicious Rumours. Not metal.
It's hot metal.
Fuck.
They're a very underrated US band, still very active.
Vicious Rumours.
Vicious Rumours. Wood, Death Spider.
Hot metal.
It's not metal.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Death Spider.
Good. My trademark on that name.
Jones. Yeah. Satan's Wings.
Satan's Wings. Hot metal.
Not metal.
Fuck.
Jeez.
The Satan's Wings. Wouldn't recommend them as an airline either.
Food's awful. Right. Anvil Bitch.
I'm not talking.
Hot metal.
It's hot metal.
Isn't that your username on that that forum as well, Mark?
It's Anvil Bitch 69.
Okay. Blacksmith. Blacksmith.
Which mallet would you recommend for
a good beating?
Both in and out of the workshop, if you know what I mean.
They are, and this is to quote the website, an underrated US thrash
band. Are they underrated?
quite possibly.
Is it rating a 6.5?
Jones.
Yeah?
Death Row.
Death Row.
Is that row as in like fish eggs or
just fish based songs?
Yeah, that's a symbol at the front of their drum. Yeah.
Koi. Cop.
That's just
hot metal.
Death Row is hot metal.
Yeah.
Well done. They are they are an underrated German thrash band.
So what's the score now?
It is 1-0. Woods. Dr. Mastermind.
Hot metal.
Straight away. Yeah, they are an American speed metal band from Portland, Oregon, formed in 1985. Yeah,
not rated high enough for me.
Love a bit of speed metal.
Like, what, Dr. Mastermind?
Dr. Mastermind.
Isn't that on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Boasting.
Medical profession.
Listen, that's worth their PhD. Come on.
As a band.
You're going to use that. Yeah, it's
good. No, I'm afraid I can't diagnose you. The drummer's not here. Leather City.
not metal.
Not metal.
Leather City.
I'm sure it's not a furniture place. I'm not sure that is a furniture place.
I mean, I'm not Googling it either.
Leather City, image search.
Why are we sacked? Misunderstanding.
With Black Lace.
There is a band called Black Lace.
There is a band called Black Lace.
Well, they're metal though.
But is there?
So not metal then.
It's hot metal. There's also another band called Black Lace. They're an American heavy metal band from New York, formed in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
So
same.
Boys, pineapple. Shut the train. Spring. Go for a walk. And the rest of that song in that voice, you can imagine how it goes.
Yeah, I can't think what the other bits are. I'm sure we'll get there.
Ski. Okay.
Superman.
Hitch a ride. Why is this Superman be hitching a ride? I don't know if it's Clark Kent.
I don't know. No, I don't think it's actually meant to be. It's meant to be actually like Superman. Because he does a lot of things Superman wouldn't actually have to do, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think it's more bullet point form rather than like. I don't think the
narrative of the song.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's like one.
It's like a day in the life of Superman.
Yeah, but he puts those deodorant on. Superman need that. He's not sweating, is he?
Well, it's with spandex, isn't he? It's quite.
Yeah, but clammy, he's not. Don't get into this.
Well, I thought it was like the first part of all the domestic chores was him as Clark Kent, and then it's Superman when he changes.
Domestic chores, he goes a bit skinny.
Oh, might put the deodorant on as a cover, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. He wants to act like a human, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Hitch a ride.
No, like,
he could fly,
yeah,
but no, it's Clark
Kent. But you see like humans walking around, you're not like checking them for deodorant, are you? Like, just to check if they're an alien.
Well, I don't. If someone's got BO, I don't think
Superman wouldn't have BO, though, would he? Because he's not sweating, is he?
He want to blend in as a human. He gets pits going, won't he?
Yeah, but he physically isn't sweating, is he?
Would you go in the toilet every now and splash a bit on his pits?
Yeah, still wouldn't smell. Wouldn't need deodorant, would you? It makes deodorant redundant. If anything, it's going to get all chalky and cakey, isn't it? Depends on how much it's put on.
Lois Lane doesn't know he's Superman, does she?
She does in the TV adaptation.
Yeah, she does most of the time.
Is that canon?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Canon.
Yeah, she does in like a lot of the comic books. Well, it depends on what period you're reading.
Yeah. Does she know that he's Superman or not?
Pretty much, yeah.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Well, it's like, yeah, what?
You go into someone's house and they've got no deodorant, you're thinking...
Yeah, but who's checking?
Is
that what the first thing you go for?
Well, you go to someone's house and go, oh, you got your deodorant on, I pop a bit on, I walk around, it's hot. And like, he goes, sorry, I've got absolutely no deodorant.
No, but like, I've got a stick and I haven't got his spray.
Clark Kent uses a roll-on, exclusively a roll-on.
You should really, go on.
What happened to the... You get the roll-ons now, but you never get really like the one that's like a...
Clicky one.
Yeah, and that's, it's like...
Yeah, I get that one.
And it's like
Like a
soapy sort of thing. You just sort of
it comes out the... Yeah, that's what I use.
Kind of like a Play-Doh.
Yeah, that's what I use. That's what I thought.
Just Play-Doh smith.
It's really...
I don't smell.
Fucking stink.
Just pad that up. Just pack it up.
Imagine that. Fucking lost it.
Just played. It just dries. Your arms are stuck.
stuck to your skin.
All right.
All right. Score now? Sorry, it's 3-2 to Wood, and there's two more. So.
Hold on. 3-2?
Yeah, you got a lot wrong.
Are you sure?
Sorry.
Oh, did I get three right?
I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's right. But anyway, let's go with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did. You got
just brought a stitch up.
You got you got Death Spider wrong. You got Anvil Bitch correct, I think.
Yeah.
Doctor Mastermind. Oh, hang on, Black Lace. You didn't get that right, did you?
No, sorry.
I did get that right. I said not metal.
I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
I said hot metal.
No, you didn't. What a liar.
No, I'm sorry for two. All. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Okay, very honest. All right. Well, it's currently.
I'll try and get away.
Yeah. Currently a draw. Jones. Mm. So I'll say it and then I'll spell it out.
Okay.
Hello, Satan, and the U of Hallow, H-U-L-L-O, has an umlaut.
Not metal.
It is not metal. I've gone to
a bit obvious putting the umlaut.
So, I've gone to a lot of effort there. So I don't know why.
It's a line of backpacks and stationery in Japan.
Anyway. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Satan.
Just the only common part was hello, isn't it, there?
Yeah. that famous Beatles song.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally, would Geddy's Axe.
Hot metal.
Bam. Yeah. Geddy's Axe. That is hot metal.
Was it a draw?
It is a draw.
Again.
Another one. Jesus. They are an obscure band from Sheffield. So,
nice.
Whispering that.
On the road.
All right, then. So we've got fucking hell, another draw.
Oh, just did a number generator.
Yeah, why not? Between 1 and 39.
It worked out well last time.
Sure did.
Oh.
Oh, please, that'd be somewhere in the middle. I don't want to count.
What numbers again?
1 to 39, please. One less than 40.
Little smirk at the end.
he's got you there. He's in logic.
12.
Oh, hang on. I lost count.
Come on.
Oh, I'd have numbered them, to be honest.
Basic, isn't it, really? What have you done?
I'm not looking forward to this.
What is it?
Los Dos Bros.
Sorry?
Los Dos Bros.
What is that?
It's a fairly recent one. It's on 4AD, 2001, in fact.
That's not a good song.
Not recent. That's about 18 years ago.
This was one that was requested by a mate of mine, Dan Hillman. So I've seen a bit of this, and I don't think I enjoyed it, if I'm honest.
What'd you put on this?
I mean, we can edit all this out if you want to.
What?
Do something else. I don't mind if you want
to. I've chosen it now.
Okay, well, fine. All right, then. So, series 5, episode 5 will be Los Dos Bros. We will be watching series 1, episode 4, Money.
We might be, we might
just watch something else differently. Why don't see how it goes. Watch the whole series, and then
you might get one.
You might get one that we watched, or we'll just watch something else.
Yeah, so we'll be doing Los Dos Bros.
Los Dos Bros.
Is it set in Spain?
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, even done like asking people to. Well, no one ever has, so no point.
What?
To review things and whatever.
Oh, well, yeah, leave a review or that if you want. If not, don't.
No, wait, anyway.
If you are still listening, please leave a
please.
Review. Please. Leave a review and enjoy yourself while doing it. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's not going to help any ratings.
Three
don't worry
star, please.
No, 2-star. It's all about the 2-star.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 3-star.
That was a 2-star that we got. That's the best one.
Oh, what? The murmuring one?
Yeah.
What are we still listening?
What?
Wonder if you're still listening. That's what he's saying right now as well.
Yeah. Hey? Speak up, lads.
He just loves a murmuring. Just have it on the background. It's really good. Just leave it on while I'm out. People think that it's not a radio or anything. I just think three people in there chatting in the living room.
Pricked him in his house. Oh, I'm bothered going in there. So that sounds tedious. I'm not going into that house.
All right, well, you've been listening to The Great British Shitcom. Don't forget to follow us on the usual channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at British Shitcom. You're using the hashtag Shitcom. Leave a review, as we said, or, go on iTunes and subscribe. Oh, I must have, whatever. iTunes and subscribe.
It's zero. Just don't do both.
It's like a head injury. Alternatively, visit www.greatbritishsitcom.com where you can find all that info and some merchandise. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week, series, whatever one is applicable. And end. Thanks very much for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.